This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salat wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry, had a little bit of a technical difficulty with the camera. Turns out the camera wasn't plugged in, but alhamdulillah, we're here now. First and foremost, thank you for joining me live. And if you're watching this later, thank you for watching this later as well. Alhamdulillah, it's good to have you here. I would love to hear where you're from, where you're watching from, where you're joining us from. So wherever you are in the world, in the comments, in the chat, go ahead and let me know where you're joining us from. It's alhamdulillah, we have Saad from Birmingham in the UK. Alhamdulillah, we have Zainab from Kuwait, mashallah, ahlan wa sahlan. Marwa from London, Farhat, Sri Lanka. I don't know what that name is, but it's Chicago. We have someone from Chicago, London, alhamdulillah, Bradistan, right? Bradistan. We have someone from Bradistan, New York City, Algeria, mashallah. Beautiful. I love seeing this at the beginning of our live sessions. It gives me an idea of just the diversity of Islam, alhamdulillah. You know, everyone joining us from different parts of the world. And I think your backgrounds today especially will add a lot to our discussion, because we may have a certain view of an issue like this. And subhanAllah, that view can very much be molded by our background, where we grew up, our culture, what we have been exposed to, and even our own personal experiences. And all of that has a big impact on, subhanAllah, the way we view something like this. Especially something like this, a question like when you should get married, right? What is the best age to get married? And we'll get into this discussion, inshallah ta'ala, in a little bit. But I would, you know, as we start talking about this, I'd love to hear your perspective on this as well. So don't hesitate to, you know, put your view or how you feel about this in the chat. I do try to keep my eye on the chat to see what people are saying. And so I'll try to address, you know, your comments and your questions as well. Inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah. So first of all, now I said that, you know, our background, it makes a big difference in how we view this type of issue. And that is true because Islamically, first and foremost, when it comes to marriage, and I think this is, you know, Islam 101, most people know this and they understand this, marriage in Islam is very much part of our deen, right? We've all heard the hadith of half of your religion. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ. That a person, the servant of Allah, when they get married, then they have completed نِصْفَ الدِّينِ, has half of their deen, half of their faith. And then Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي مَا بَقِي. That, so the person should have the taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah in that which remains of their deen, right? So nisf ad-deen, half of your deen, means this is a very important aspect of our faith, getting married. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, I mean, marriage is so important that Allah mentions it as one of His signs, one of the ayat of Allah. As Allah says in Surah Ar-Rum, ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا. That it is from the signs, it is from his signs that he created from yourselves, azwaja, mates, right? So spouses. And then Allah gives us the purpose behind that. Now we get to, okay, marriage is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what is the purpose of marriage? Or one of the purposes of marriage, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, right? That you may find, you know, this تَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا really means you find tranquility in this companionship, in this marriage, in you know, this, in this marriage. But, you know, the when Allah says لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, this comes from سَكَن, right? And the سَكَن is, you know, living, right? So there's an aspect of living and existing with another human being. And then also sukun, right, which is peace and tranquility. So it tells us that as human beings, we naturally desire this for ourselves, that we naturally desire that we don't live alone, you know, we live with someone, but not that we just live with someone, because you can live with someone and have a horrible life with someone, and that's not great, and that's not what we desire. We desire to live with someone, to be with someone in peace and tranquility, right? Really find comfort and find rest and calm. And that is why, subhanAllah, one of the things that we look for in a good relationship, in a good marriage, is that calm and that comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a marriage or marriages that have that peace and calm and comfort in it. That is what we're looking for. Not to say that a marriage should not have any rough moments or difficult moments or moments where there's a lack of calm and comfort. That's life. You know, there's no life without difficulty and hardship, right? But there, those moments of peace and tranquility and comfort that we find in our spouse, that is something that we naturally desire. And that is why Allah then says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that Allah made between you مَوَدَّةً. You know, we could say this is affection, affectionate love, والرحمة, and this is mercy. And our scholars tell us that those two ingredients are very important to a marriage that desires that sukoon, a marriage that desires that tranquility, that mawadda and rahma must be there. So we strive for that. And a lot of times this may be present in the beginning of a marriage, but it may go away or it may wither out or wither away as the relationship goes on. But that is one of our goals, that in our marriage, we try to sustain and increase the affection, love and affection, and also mercy. Because without that, we won't have a calm and a peaceful relationship. So we all understand, hopefully, that, you know, marriage is an important part of our deen. As a matter of fact, you know, for us as Muslims, marriage is not just a social contract. It is considered an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That by getting married, we, you know, obviously, if we're getting married for the right reasons and the proper way and so on and so forth, that this is something that can bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? So it is considered an act of worship as the Prophet ﷺ. One indication of this is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, I believe, in Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ, he said, خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. He said, the best of you are those who are best to their families, and I am best to my family, meaning I am an example for you. If you want to see how to be, to live with your family, to live with your spouse, then take my example. But the best of you, يعني best in what way? Best in this dunya, yes, but also best in a spiritual way, right? Meaning in our taqwa, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes us the best is how we treat our families, how we treat our spouses. So if we treat our spouses in the best way, and if we live with them in kindness and humility and generosity and so on and so forth, then that makes us the best, right? Or amongst the best. And that is not just, as I said, not just in this dunya, but in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seek closeness to Allah through our good relationships. And amongst that, obviously, is getting married. Now, so as I said, that's a little bit of a long introduction to a topic which I think most people already understand. If you've ever attended a wedding and there's an imam who gave a speech, gave a khutbah, they probably mention this ayah, you know, and they mention this hadith, and you're like, okay, I've heard it, you know, khalas, I get it. But I just for people who may not have heard this before, or as a reminder, I wanted to mention this as well. So that is understood. Now, the natural next step, or the natural path to go down after that would be, and this is what you hear a lot of Muslims say, that the best time to get married, the best age to get married, the best time to get married is the earlier, the better. So if it is part of our deen, as we said it is, if it is an act of worship, which we said it is, if it is a way for us to fulfill one of the things that we naturally desire, as we said, we desire companionship, we desire tranquility, to live with someone in peace and tranquility. So if it's all that, then why not the sooner the better, right? So you take a look at any type of goodness in this life, right? If we have the ability to attain that goodness earlier, then the earlier the better, right? So that's the natural way of understanding this. And this is why a lot of people, and I would imagine you can tell me how you feel about this in the comments, a lot of people's opinion is the earlier the better. Is anyone here who feels that way? The earlier you get married, the better? Let me know in the comments what you think. It's not, and I'm not saying I disagree. I'm not saying I agree or disagree yet. We're going to talk about it. But that's a natural nope. Okay, someone said nope. Someone said yes. Yes, we have a few yeses. Earlier the better, more protection against zina. Yeah, that's a very important point, right? So and that, very good. That's an excellent point. Sa'ad, thank you for mentioning that. I'm not talking to myself. The person who commented, the name is Sa'ad as well. So just, you know, I'm not referring to myself in the third person. But Sa'ad in the comments said that protects you from zina. Yeah, so not only is it all the reasons that I mentioned before, but also being involved in the halal protects us from the haram. That's a natural aspect or characteristic of what Allah has made halal, that it is also meant as a protection from the haram. The permissible protects us from the impermissible. You can imagine, subhanAllah, if a person spends their whole day doing that which is permissible, then they're going to have less time to do that which is impermissible. That's just natural. It's normal. So yes, true, right? So it protects us from falling into zina, adultery, and so on and so forth. Absolutely correct. So yes, so the earlier the better. Now, by default, we would say, yes, that makes sense, right? That makes sense that the earlier a person gets married, the better. And actually, we do have evidence to support that, right? From the Sharia, from Islam, from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya ma'ashar al-shabab. He said, oh, young people, right? So now he's talking to people who are young. What is he encouraging them with? Man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever amongst you can afford to get married, who is able to basically get married, then they should do so. Right? So this is the recommend. This is what the Prophet is saying. Oh, young people, referring to young people, that if you're able to get married, you should get married, right? And you know, obviously affordability is one aspect of it, but there's more to it. And then the Prophet said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. And the person who is not able to do so, then they should fast, right? They should fast. So, you know, we were talking about protecting oneself against zina and so on and so forth. So a person who has that, you know, as it's a natural thing, right? To have those desires. So the Prophet recognized that as a young person, young people are going to have those desires, and generally, not always, but at a younger age, that desire can be stronger, right? And it usually is stronger. So what do you do, Prophet? Well, one of the recommendations he made, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to fast, right? Fasting. Prophet said, فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَهُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be a restraint or a protection for this person. So fasting will protect them from falling into al-'iyadhu billah, something which is haram, right? Something which is haram. Someone said, only get married if you can afford it. There is a big responsibility of financial requirements that come with marriage. Yeah, finances. Now, finances is one thing that should be very clear. So if we're going to say the younger the better, we have to very much acknowledge and say, look, if you're not financially able to get married, then you don't get married, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you are now responsible for another human being. You're responsible now for a family, and you may have children, and then now a person not able to fulfill their responsibilities towards their family, right? So I think everyone should agree, even people who are like, no, the sooner the better, the younger the better, that should absolutely be the case. People who are very staunch on that, they have to admit at the very least that younger the better, yeah, unless you can't afford to do it, right? So that's step, that's at least, that's, hopefully we can agree on that. Is there anyone who disagrees with that? Anyone in the comments? Let me know if you disagree with that. That even if you say the younger the better, the earlier the better, the exception to that would be finances. Yes or no? Yes? Y'all agree? Anyone who disagrees? Okay. I don't see any disagreements here. So that should be obvious, right? Alhamdulillah, we agree. But when we're, so that's step number one. Let's talk about other abilities as well, right? And that is, subhanAllah, getting married. So if we agree about financial capability, we also must admit, and you're free to disagree with me in the comments, you also have to admit that there are other abilities as well. Let's talk about a big one, maturity, right? Because marriage is not just about, yeah, can I pay for the wedding, and can I provide for my spouse, and can I provide for my children? There's also the maturity of being responsible, as I said, of maturity of, okay, yeah, providing and that being responsible for other human beings, but also sharing a life with another human being, right? So a person may not be mature enough to be married. So we would say this person is actually not able to get married because they lack the maturity. Because if they were to get married, then it would be a disastrous situation because they're not mature enough, right? And in actuality, so that's another factor. Another factor may be finding the right person. And this is where it gets kind of controversial. People will say, so the person who said not maturity, but commitment, being able to commit and to live up to the commitment is part of maturity, right? It can be part of maturity. That can a person, anyone can commit. Anyone can say, khalas, I'll get married, right? Sign the contract, I agree to, Islamically verbal contract, I'll do it. Getting married is easy, subhanAllah. Actually, getting married is very easy. But being able to live to the commitment that one makes, that's another matter, right? That's where we say, is the person really mature enough, or do they have the maturity, or do they have the ability to live up to that commitment, right? So that's the question we should factor that. We're talking about finances, we should also factor that in as well, maturity. Abdullah, who said, please come to India for Islamic lectures one day, inshallah. If it's possible, I ask Allah to make it possible for me to come to India. Jazakallah khair. But that commitment, that commitment is part of it, very much so. So the ability, and then so that definitely has to come under, is the person able to get married or not? Being able to, being in an emotional and psychological place where a person is ready as well, that is another thing that needs to be looked at also. So for example, let's say somebody is dealing with certain issues in their life, right? Certain problems in their life. And you can list a lot of things in those problems. Even today, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of attention being given to like mental health. A person may be dealing with issues of their mental health. This is not the person you say, hey man, go get married, or hey sister, go get married. And it'll just automatically fix everything. No. If a person is dealing with certain issues, those issues need to be worked upon and solved, hopefully solved, but at least worked upon before a person complicates their life by bringing another individual into it, right? And by the way, according to Islam, if a person has a serious illness, that needs to be disclosed before the marriage, before they get married, right? So let's say someone has an illness that affects the quality of their life, right? This is not something that you're allowed to hide from your potential spouse. Why? Because it has an impact on your relationship. It's going to have an impact in how you live together, right? So you're not allowed to hide that. And so it is my opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that those are, physical illnesses come under that. It is my opinion that even mental illness should come under that as well. So let's say a person is dealing with clinical depression, right? Or a person is dealing with addiction, you know? And these are serious, these are illnesses. Islamically, yani, an illness is an illness, whether it's a physical addiction, a physical illness or a mental illness, an illness is an illness, right? It needs to be dealt with. So that, in my opinion, and Allah knows best, that is something that should also be disclosed and discussed before a person gets married, right? Why? Because this is something that now the couple is going to have to deal with together. Let's talk about addiction. SubhanAllah, somebody has an addiction can seriously, depending on how severe the addiction is, it can seriously affect your life. It can seriously affect the quality of one's life. It can affect your, it can have so much of an impact on a person's life. It can have serious consequences on a person's life. Then how can we bring somebody into our life, agree to marry them and live with them for the rest of our life, and not disclose that and not discuss it, that, you know, this is going to be a serious issue in our life, right? So that has to be brought up and has to be discussed and has to be weighed before a person says, I want to get married, right? So that's another issue. So many of these issues need to be looked at, and that is why, and I just mentioned, by the way, some of the issues. So I think I mentioned earlier, not finding the right person. This is a big one in our day and age, you know, and in a lot of cultures, subhanAllah, a lot of people are told, get married young, right? And a lot of people are shamed for not getting married at a young age, right? Or being old or getting older, right? And not being married is stigmatized, right? So oftentimes girls are told that, you know, better get married before you get older, right? And, you know, not only does it affect their, it affects them in so many ways, subhanAllah. It affects their mental health. It can affect how they feel about themselves. It can affect so many aspects of their lives because they're told you have to get married and you have to get married young. Don't wait till you're old. When you get, the older you get, the harder it's going to get married, so on and so forth. And so that, subhanAllah, is a problem when a person now gets married despite having other issues, right? Other issues, it could be, as we said, there's financial, there's, mental health, there is not finding the right person. And so sometimes people are pushed to marry just whoever, whether they're good for you or not, just get married because you need to get married when you're young, right? And that, subhanAllah, that, I never understand that thinking, because it is like short-term gain for a long-term loss. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Or why would you do that to your loved one, those parents or those generation, or I don't want to generalize, but those people who encourage others to get married to someone who is not good for them or not a good fit just because they're getting old? Okay, kharas, I mean, they're going to get married now and that's fine. And you have a celebration and you're like, alhamdulillah, my daughter's married, right? Or my son's married, because even guys get encouraged to get married young and they're like, you're getting too old, get married, regardless of who it is. Kharas, you have this short-term benefit, but if they're marrying a person who is not good for them, and they're marrying someone who is, let's say, yani, as a Muslim, someone who is bad for their deen, someone who is bad for their faith, right? Someone who is incompatible in faith with them. Yani, that's a big issue, let alone a lot of other problems and a lot of other issues. Why would you get that short-term benefit for a long-term, possibly extended harm? And I'm not talking about just divorce, okay? Divorce, that's a whole nother topic. Divorce in Islam, automatically sometimes we feel divorce is just bad, right? And we should never get divorced. That's not true. That's not the case. Perhaps in another live session, we'll talk about divorce, right? And how the ruling of divorce actually depends on the situation. That's something we can discuss later. But so when I say long-term harm or bad, I'm not just talking about divorce. Yeah, that can be a problem as well. But also any investment into a marriage that leads a person to a lot of other problems, let alone bringing kids into a relationship that is, for lack of a better word, a toxic relationship, right? Just for the sake of fulfilling this cultural expectation of, you have to get married when you're young. You have to get married before you're too old. And, you know, we now have the reality, the facts and figures to tell us that that is not the wisest thing. And actually, I actually looked up some statistics, some numbers. And you know what the numbers tell us? The numbers tell us that a good predictor of divorce, meaning a relationship, a marriage not working out, is age. The numbers tell us, in general, that the younger one gets married, the more likely they are to be divorced, right? That's the reality. And it's not because getting, once again, it's not because getting married young is bad. By default, we would say getting married young is good, but it's about getting married young without considering any of the other factors that would take away from one's ability to get married young, or one's take away from the time that is appropriate for them to get married, right? So one of the, you know, and there's some difference in these numbers, but generally this is what the numbers tell us. One statistic tells us that 48% of people who get married before the age of 18 are likely to get divorced within the first 10 years of their marriage, okay? So 48% of those who get married before they're 18 are likely to get divorced within the first 10 years, compared to 25% of people who get married after the age of 25. So the numbers tell us that if a person gets married after the age of 25, the divorce rate, or the likelihood that they're going to get divorced within 10 years is drops down to 25%. But if a person gets married before the age of 18, the likelihood that they're going to get divorced within 10 years goes up to 48%, a much higher number. So it's not just 18. Also, couples who got married between the ages of 20 and 25, their divorce rate is about 60%. So generally, the younger a person gets married, generally, that the numbers tell us that they're more likely to get divorced. And a person may say, and I know a person may have a lot of objections to this. If you look up different studies, you'll find different numbers, but a lot of them are very similar. Most of the data, Saad, you're right, is non-Muslim. You're correct. However, Muslims living in a non-Muslim society or a non-Muslim place, our numbers, the last studies that I came across, I haven't looked them up recently, but at least it has been like a couple years ago, that the studies that were, obviously the studies done on Muslims are more limited than non-Muslims, but even in the Muslim community, the divorce rate, it is less. It is less than non-Muslims, or we can say just general, but it's not that much less, right? So the trends seem to be similar, but yes, the numbers are a little bit less. And even the studies show that religious couples versus non-religious couples, religious couples, their marriages tend to last longer, and they tend to do better but the marriages at least tend to last longer. And this is regardless of faith, right? But generally, people who are more practicing of their faith, more committed to their faith, generally their relationships tend to last longer. Absolutely, that is the key. That is absolutely the key. And that should be understood. But the point is that generally, why is that the case? I mean, why are younger people more likely to get divorced? Well, for all the reasons that we mentioned today, right? It is when we don't take those into account that we run into problems. So getting the problem isn't, and you know, to answer this question, what age should you get married? If we're talking about younger, older, I don't think the answer is you should get married young or you should get married old. My opinion is that one should get married when they are able to get married, and able is not just financial. Able is everything else, you know, maturity, being able to, you know, commit, being at a place in their life where they are, they can be in a relationship, looking at when they find someone who is compatible with them, all of those factors, right? When all of those factors come into place, that is the best time to get married. And look, I just want to be very clear here. There's always exceptions. There are people who get married young and their relationship does fine, right? There's people who get married young and they're incompatible, right? Totally incompatible, but their relationship works out in the end of the day. And then there's people who get married, they're very compatible, and their relationship doesn't work out. That is the nature of life. It happens all the time. But in general, the most important thing for us should be, subhanAllah, compatibility, right? Compatibility. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, in a particular hadith, he said, that he said تنكح المرأة لأربعة. He said that a woman is generally, you know, married for four reasons: لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولدينها. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم that generally people will marry a woman for these reasons, four reasons: for لمالها, for her wealth, لحسبها, for her status, لجمالها, and that's a big one for us in this day and age, right? For her beauty, ولدينها, and for her deen, for her faith, or for her religion. And the Prophet said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, and he said, so try to get married for religion. And because for as a believer, as a Muslim, our religion impacts every part of our life. And so that is the most important aspect of that. But this goes back to compatibility, right? That we look at, you know, in our deen, we look at compatibility as well. So those are some thoughts that I have. I want to read through some of these comments. I know people have been commenting. This has been awesome, alhamdulillah, to see what people have been saying. Let me just scroll up a little bit. Bismillah. Maturity levels differ across different societies. For example, in the Middle East, you can see 12-year-old children who have far greater maturity than 18-year-olds in the West. I don't know if I agree with that generalization. I'm not disagreeing either, but the comment I do agree with, that maturity levels definitely differ from place to place, society to society, culture to culture. Absolutely, I agree, right? There may be a particular culture where people are mature, are mature at a younger age. There may be a particular culture or place where people not only mature, they take on far more responsibility at a younger age, right? And it's very possible that what I think it's a brother, Amr, if I'm not mistaken, was said is correct. I just don't know, right? It may be possible, yeah, in the Middle East, it may be that children at a younger age, they mature faster. I may be a little bit biased because I live in Saudi Arabia, and in Saudi Arabia, I don't necessarily agree with that. So my exposure of the Middle East is restricted to Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, I don't know if I agree. Outside of Saudi Arabia, Allahu Alam, I don't know, because I haven't lived in other places in the Middle East outside of Saudi Arabia. But yeah, it very much may be the case. I can imagine, subhanAllah, and you know, may Allah protect this, especially in parts of the world where there is a lot of instability. There is war. You take a look at a place like Palestine, for example, that is an occupied territory, right? Where they're constantly under attack, right? Our Palestinian brothers and sisters are constantly under attack, where their homes are being destroyed on a regular basis. Obviously, children would have to mature at a much younger age. They have to deal with the realities of life. May Allah protect us at a much younger age. Yemen, Amr, I believe, said Yemen. Yeah, Yemen, because of war and famine. Absolutely. So yeah, very much that may be the case, right? And so that is why we have to take a look at these issues. And that's why these issues should not be a yes or no, black and white, absolute issue. And that is why we need to be very careful when discussing these types of matters, because it can depend on so many factors. A person may say to get married young is better. That may be the case, depending on where you live, what your circumstances, what your situation is. A person may say, no, to get married older is better. Maybe. It depends on your situation. It depends on your, as I said, where you live, your culture, your background, your lifestyle, so on and so forth. For a particular individual, we would say to them, wallahi, there have been people that I have met that I've told them, don't get married right now. Seriously, personally, I've met people, I've been like, listen, man, don't get married right now. You are not ready to get married. Like, I know you want to get married. I know you're like, it's half of my deen and so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you, my friend, are not ready to get married, because you got to do some work. You have to prepare yourself for marriage. A person who doesn't even know, for example, how to live with someone of the opposite gender and deal with some of the gender differences, like just natural, normal gender differences, right? That means they don't have the level of maturity to be able to put up with someone who is different than them, right? And that means not to say that they can never get married. Of course they can, but they need to prepare themselves for marriage. They need to mature. How do you learn that? Saad said, look, honestly, that is a very good question. And that is something that I think deserves a whole, if not another lecture, a whole seminar, a whole another workshop in what a person needs to get preparing oneself to get married. Amr said emotional intelligence. Absolutely. Absolutely. People who lack emotional intelligence, they're honestly setting themselves for up for a lot of problems in their not only marriage, by the way, in other relationships as well. Even subhanAllah, when somebody gets married and they have kids, if a person doesn't have emotional intelligence, they're gonna have an effect on their children as well. And that's just the problem just snowballs from there. May Allah protect us. Navigating conflicts and so on. Yeah, conflict resolution. I did a short recently, those of you who watch my YouTube shorts, right? Under 1 minute clips, I did a short on conflict resolution. And how do you deal with a conflict when you're married? Right? This is something that a person needs to understand, right? They need to be mature enough to a level where they say, okay, I have a disagreement with my spouse. What is the best way to deal with it? Right? Those are skills that can be developed. They need to be learned. And look, some people learn this from their parents. That's the reality. Some people are brought up in a household where their parents have a great relationship, meaning they have wonderful conflict resolution skills. They have healthy conflict resolution skills. And so they grew up looking at their parents. Okay, my parents, when they had a disagreement, this is how they would resolve their problems in a healthy way, right? Because everyone has problems. Everyone has difficulties. Everyone has disagreements. It's part of life. It happens. But my parents, I look at them and I see, oh, they wouldn't yell at one another and curse one another or put one another down. They wouldn't be condescending. They wouldn't have fight. They would have disagreements, but they'd resolve them in a healthy way, right? And so sometimes people learn that just by growing up in an environment like that. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to bless all of us with households like that, but that's not the case for everyone, right? Doesn't mean that now a child who's grown up in that environment can never succeed. It just means that they need to develop those skills. Would it be bad to get marriage counseling from a non-Muslim counselor? Depends. It really depends. There are non-Muslim counselors who can understand, they may be familiar with Islam, and they may be familiar with Islam where they can help us in a way that is good for us. And then a person may be in a situation where they can't find a good Muslim marriage counselor. And so it really depends. It depends on the situation. There may be cases where I would say, you know what, because you have a Muslim counselor available to you and they can relate to you, they understand your problems, they understand your deen, and even, subhanAllah, not just Islam, a counselor who understands your culture, right, can make a big difference. Let's say there's a Pakistani counselor who understands Pakistani problems, right? Cultural problems. I would say, go to a counselor who understands these issues, right? That in my culture, there's these problems, these issues, or these norms, these expectations. A counselor who understands that, they may be able to do a better job at counseling you because they're familiar with those problems. So in general, a person who understands us better can make a better counselor. Islamic marriage counseling before you get married, Poonam, I agree 100%. Premarital counseling is something that I think in a lot of Muslim communities is almost unheard of. And I know it's getting more popular now. Alhamdulillah, it's getting more popular. But because, and I think one of the reasons, and Allah knows best, one of the reasons is there's such a stigma when it comes to counseling in general. People hear counseling and they're like, no, that's bad. You know, I don't want to talk to people about my problems and my issues and so on and so forth. So, people won't even go to counseling in the relationship. They're having problems in the marriage, let alone before a marriage even starts. So people may be very averse to that. But generally, to be able to sit with a counselor and to get counseling before you go into the relationship is one of the best things you can do for your marriage. Because you know what you're getting into. You can recognize, you can identify potential problems, potential areas of conflict, and you can talk about how to deal with those conflicts when they come up, right? And so premarital counseling is a wonderful thing. If we have access to that, and even subhanAllah, those of you who don't have access to formal premarital counseling, there may be some type of informal premarital counseling that can be discussed before someone gets married, and that would be wonderful for that relationship, inshallah ta'ala, in the future, inshallah. Also choose a mentor. Look at someone who is successful in their marriage. I think I missed a couple of these comments here. If the children are in an environment where parents do not get along, how do the children develop the skills to be different in their own marriage? Very good question, Marwa. Very good question. It can be difficult, but first of all, they can be developed. But this goes back to personal development, and it goes back to a person. First of all, the fact that a person can recognize that is a wonderful thing, because a lot of people will not take the time to do self-analysis to say, okay, what problems do I have? I mean, we don't like looking at our own problems, right? But to say, let me analyze myself, or let me speak to someone who can help analyze me. What issues do I have? So first of all, recognizing that a person has those problems, right? And to recognizing that, you know what? I grew up in a toxic household. So that's the first step, because if we can't do that, we can't move forward. The next step is, once we identify those problem areas, now we can go and work to fix them and to better ourselves. And in general, this really, we need someone who can counsel us, someone who can help us with those issues. And that's why I'm in very big favor. I'm very much in favor of counseling. And if we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times when people would come to the Prophet with their problems, he would counsel them. He would sit sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he would talk to them. And the Prophet, when he was speaking, he knew who these people were. He knew what their problems were. He knew what their backgrounds were. And so he would be able to, subhanAllah, counsel them. In our times, we look for, a lot of times, generalization, we look for a quick answer. You know, we go online and we want a quick fatwa. We want a quick answer. Is this halal or haram? That's it. And you're having this problem, give me a quick answer. I get this all the time. One of the reasons why I don't answer questions online. I don't do DMs and private messaging, and I don't do any comments and stuff like that. Refer to my previous live session about why I don't do DMs, right? And why I don't reply to comments. That's another session that I did. That's one of the reasons, because a lot of the problems that people come to me with, these are not quick issues. It's not something that I say, you know what, do 1, 2, 3, and you're done. Your problem will be solved, right? These issues, a lot of times, they require counseling, right? So it's not fair to me, and it's not fair to the person who's asking this question, that they, subhanAllah, just be given a quick answer. It's not fair to them, and that's why I don't do it. Yes, do I do counseling? Not at the moment. Not at the moment. In the future, Allahu alam, we will see. Just like any other field, we want to look for people who are qualified, not people who are self-taught, not people who are Google scholars, right? We have this problem in our deen, subhanAllah. We have Google scholars, right? People who learn their deen from Google, and they're not qualified. They don't have any formal education. They're not qualified yet. We seek our Islamic knowledge from them. May Allah protect this. Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge, people who have the knowledge, right, of what you want, if you don't know. Meaning, one of the understandings is people who are qualified. So that's the people we got to go to in any field, whether it be obviously religious knowledge, we go to people who are qualified in the deen. There are people on the internet right now talking about heavy deen issues. And if you look at their background, where they studied, who they studied with, is just a big question mark. You don't know. We don't know who this person studied with, where they studied, who their scholars are, what institution they went to. We don't know. I don't know. I'm popular online. A lot of times people pay, I'm popular online, therefore, khalas, people assume that they're a scholar. That doesn't make someone a scholar. Whether it be religious knowledge, whether it be medical knowledge, we don't take our knowledge from Google doctors, right? Someone who looks up stuff online, I do my own research, doctors. No time for you, homie. If I'm going to take my medical knowledge from someone, it's going to be someone who is qualified in the medical field, and they have some qualification they can show for that. And likewise, even in counseling, even in any field, and you want someone who is qualified. Just like, subhanAllah, we want to get surgery. Someone, a surgeon who comes and says, hey, I can do your surgery. Like, who are you? Where did you learn how to do surgery? Well, I saw a couple of YouTube videos on how to do surgery. We're going to be like, no, stay away from me. Don't touch me, right? Because this is your life. You want someone who's qualified. You can be like, who made you a doctor? Who made you a surgeon? Show me. Where's your qualification? Where'd you graduate from? So on and so forth. We'll be very serious. That same seriousness should be applied to our deen. Actually, our deen should be more serious, and other fields as well. So counseling, one day, inshallah, if I'm able to, get the proper qualification, then maybe one day I will do that, Allahu alam. But at the moment, I don't do counseling. Do you have any recommendation for good literature? I do, actually, regarding marriage. Perhaps I don't have it on me right now, but I will try to share it with you in some way or the other, maybe on my YouTube channel. Here's, I'll make a deal with you. On my YouTube channel, there's a place for me to post. I do video posts and all that, and I also have written posts on my YouTube channel. So if you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, I will list a number of books that are wonderful books, like marriage books. And actually, most of the ones that I would recommend actually are written by Muslims as well, because they understand the Muslim perspective and the Muslim the importance of marriage in Islam and the Muslim perspective towards marriage. So I'll post it on my YouTube. Amr said post it on Facebook. No, not gonna post it. I'm gonna post it on my YouTube because I want more people to join these live sessions. So make sure if you're subscribed, if you got notifications on, you'll see. I'll try to post it today, actually, inshallah. My recommendation of books regarding marriage. So I think we're gonna call it a day. Alhamdulillah, we had a pretty nice long session today. Alhamdulillah. If you aren't subscribed to YouTube, make sure. If you aren't subscribed to my channel on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell button, as someone said in the comments. Hit the bell button to make sure you get subhanAllah notifications. And what will next week's live topic be? I don't know. I don't know what next week's topic will be. We'll see, inshallah ta'ala. Hopefully something that we can all benefit from, inshallah ta'ala. But thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here. If you benefited from this session, this will be posted on my channel so you can share it with other people as well. Someone said, typical YouTuber. Man, that comment hurts. That comment hurts because I this whole YouTube thing, telling people to like and subscribe, wallahi, it's still weird to me to do that. But I was told, like, if yani, you got to do that if you want people to come and join these live sessions and benefit. So I do it. I don't know if that was a dig or not towards YouTubers. We may have some biases. Allahu alam. Anyway. But inshallah ta'ala, it's nothing, but I didn't take it personally, anything like that. It's just weird. It's weird for me to say like, subscribe, and share, and all that kind of stuff. But I will say, definitely, if you benefited from this session, make sure you share this video with others. It's going to be up on my YouTube channel. You know, someone who can benefit from this discussion, inshallah ta'ala, make sure to share it. Inshallah, I will catch you next week. Around the same time, hopefully. If there's ever a change to the schedule, I post it on my YouTube feed as well. Jazakumullahu khairah. Thank you for joining me. May Allah bless all of you and your families. May Allah grant all of you good relationships, spousal relationships, and family relationships that are good for your dunya and good for your akhirah. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi وبركاته.